Brother Lauren, you can come on up here. By way of another announcement that I failed to get in the bulletin, Ephrata Mennonite School Junior High Choir will be here with us November the 21st. Will be sharing with us during our worship. That will be our worship time. And so just to those of you that may be interested and want to be here for that, something I failed to mention earlier. So Lauren, it's good to have Lauren Miller with us here this morning. To those of you that don't know, Lauren has been very involved in New Covenant. Lauren was one of our congregational overseers for, 6 years?
Eight years.
Longer than I thought. So Lauren has invested a lot into New Covenant, and so it is a privilege to be able to have you here this morning. And so Lauren was the founder of New Horizons and now is working on
founder.
SAFE. Work, no?
Founder on
founder.
SAFE.
On SAFE, yeah. So there you go. And Lauren's going to tell us more about that. So let me pray for you, and we'll turn you loose.
Thank you. I won't lose. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to have Lauren with us this morning. God, I thank you that you have prepared his heart. You have prepared his spirit. And Lord, we do release him this morning to be able to speak, to share, and that this place would be to your honor and glory. And the words that are said and the things that are shared here today would be for your glory, for your kingdom, and we release him to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings.
Thank you, Luke. Everything in life went a lot better when I just finally agreed with myself that I'm just weird. See, it just, so I'm good with it. It's gonna be different. I don't know what you're comfortable with. I'd like to make you a little bit uncomfortable. But there's a lot of history here. And I'm overwhelmed how some of you have spoken into my life. Dave, you took me as a very young man under your auspices. And it was at New Covenant many years ago where the International New Horizons Chorale Group was here to sing. And then we returned and gave testimony. Those were unforgettable days. Back there in that Hinkletown place, for some of you that don't know me, just understand that's a privilege. But I really count some of you dear friends. I was here in April of 2019, and I know that each time that I stand behind a pulpit, I ask the Lord, what if this is my last time? What would I say? And so it's with that attitude. But I look back and I remember that our theme, if I have it right, is I have set before you an open door. And I would love to just hear testimonies of what's happened in the last 2.5 years, how you walk through open doors. Oh, I remember on that Sunday morning, I started out, I have two jokes in my portfolio. And I started out with the one that was well rehearsed. And I just, some of you really got it right. You just tracked me right down. I was gonna do that same one this morning. Then I saw Elvin out here in the foyer. It's about him. And then he said, well, I'm not gonna be here. Okay, so this is our moment, beloved. All right. So I remember telling the story. And Elvin was sitting out about right there. And 10 minutes into the sermon, all of a sudden, Elvin is just there shaking. He is just laughing and laughing and laughing. And, I was dead serious. We were talking about the open door, all right? Then later I found out he just got it. So I thought, well, maybe I should redo it today so he could get it sooner. But then I also realized, he said, I've gone to pasture. Well, I'd like to say this for you too. It's official. I can't believe this. I waited and waited and waited a long time for this. And last Wednesday was the day. Can you guess what happened last Wednesday? I had a birthday. But it was, what makes it official? It was number 65. So now I have a reason for everything. If you say I'm too old to be up here, I'm going to agree with you. But if you still give me a chance, I'll agree with you too. I got to tell you this. Some of you will read right into this, my life, but some of you will catch on. But in our family tradition, last December, you know, there's Christmas. Oh, I love what you do here with the shoeboxes. That is so phenomenal. But last Christmas, I mean, my wife's family, traditionally, always Christmas is the puzzle. You know, it started out with that 500 piece, and then now it's gone to 2,000 pieces, and you do that all in the Christmas season. You know, the kids sit around there, and I sit at the table some years, and I might find two pieces to put in the right spot. I just don't get it. But last Christmas, let me tell you a story. I went to Walmart and I bought my puzzle. And I surprised the whole family because I had my little table and this was my puzzle. I'm putting it together. And I did it by myself. You can't imagine what it felt like when I put the last piece in that puzzle. And then I was so proud, and I just to make sure everything was right. Now, the pieces were all there, but I wanted to make sure that I had the right puzzle to the box. So I took the box, and I looked at it, and sure enough, it was the same. But here was the amazing news, because on the box it said 2 to 4 years, and it only took me a day. Now, I hope Elvin got that. I want to go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. What I love about the Bible, and you know that before here, I've encouraged you to read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible several times of the year. And so I come to Colossians 3, verse 1. Many times you come to this, but it says, therefore. Oh, you all heard every Sunday school teacher say, well, if you see a therefore, what's it? Therefore. Anyhow, so it says therefore. And then it makes a statement. If you have been raised up with Christ, it's a question. If you have been raised up with Christ, then what does it say? Keep seeking the things above. I really believe, I love the time of worship and singing. Great choices of songs. Have you been raised up with Christ? I mean, can you answer that question? If not, there's an altar right here. You come anytime. If. And so I'm going to assume that we have been raised up with Christ. But then it says, keep seeking. And the keep seeking never, never stops. Now, in the man's Sunday school class, they took my line. Because the first point today was in the keep seeking, we began to grapple, understand, and bring together, merge life together so that we can know without question that God makes no mistakes. You see, now that it's official, I can look back over the years. And I know at 24 years of age, when I was asked to go to SMBI as a teacher, I was there for 8 years. Every day those doors were open, I was there. It was so hugely foundational. Harry Brenneman, who then became my father-in-law, took me under his wings. And he mentored me, he coached me. He helped me in my spiritual quest and desire. And you know, by the time I was 25, I want to ask how many of you are 25. Dave, you're not anymore, so that doesn't count. But I really thought I had an understanding, an I got God all together. I know, you know, like, boy, 40 years later, I realized I didn't. Why? Because I needed to seek him. I needed to keep seeking him and to keep seeking him. Then, so I look in that era of time, and back in the days when I first was here, we had an overhead projector right here and I could make my little drawing, but I have a hard time reaching up there to make my drawing. And I think there's a way that you do it, but I don't know how. Remember, I'm 65. All right. So just imagine that there's this, on this side over here, there's this 8 years block with SMBI. And I really thought I was going to retire there with my gold watch. Oh, I loved that job. But then there was a detour. And it was this narrow little thingy where there was a high school in Lancaster County. It was over there in that area of Terry Hill. And I was so minded vision to Colorado to start work with homeless kids, answering a call as a 12-year-old boy. But I did this, so I never did come around and say that it was a mistake, because some of you are in the crowd. But it really felt like wasted. Well, that was because for the next 22 years, there was New Horizons. And in 2009, I began to feel that, well, I knew that John Maxwell said in his book that a good leader replaces himself. And so I wanted to start that process when things were really good. And in that first director's meeting for the five directors of different divisions of the ministry, they said, well, we know it's never been this good. Why would you want to go now? Oh, and I said, that's when you want to go. You don't want to go when you guys say you should be going? Well, I was actually thinking down the pike a little while. When I gave that to the board, they just came out an executive meeting an hour later and said, we put in a search committee. And in a year, it was done. A little bit hard. Then we had the privilege, went to visit. I had a 2-week assignment in India, and for years wanted to go there with Sam Gunty in Hyderabad, and help. I'm a certified disc instructor, and so we wanted to translate that and do that for their staff. And my two oldest children were in Thailand. One was with an organization called GTO. They're the really spiritual ones. And there's another one called IGO. And they're, maybe I have it reversed. Well, anyhow, so I had a daughter at IGO and I had a son at GTO. And I just wanted to know, I had no idea. Okay, my geography is still a little bit on the limp side here, but I didn't know where Thailand was in America. Well, that's not quite, okay. So, but I know that if we flew 15 hours to India, then if Thailand is anywhere within hours, then I'm gonna go there and see what my kid's like. So we got there on a Friday afternoon and we left on a Monday morning. And we were able to connect in that time. On that Sunday afternoon, we were asked to go on staff for IGO Ministries. And that was never in my viewfinder. Nothing was outside of New Horizons to that day. But God doesn't make any mistakes. We went there in January 2013. We're there for 4 years. My job ended unexpectedly. And 2 weeks before that, I had actually gone, and Lloyd, you'd understand this. Most people are cremated, and surely there's a cemetery around, and I found a cemetery where Christians are buried, and so I went looking for family burial plots. And then I got the letter of our termination. We didn't know whether we should stay in Thailand, if we should come back. There are so many opportunities. We didn't know whether we should come back, but in the middle of this, because God makes no mistakes, we got involved with the at-risk children and trafficking. Did you know, back in 2010, the statistic was that 5,000 to 7,000 children are trafficked from Thailand to America every year? And I said, it's not possible. Oh, yeah, they said. No, I said, you don't understand our government. It is not, you have to have a passport, you have to have a visa, you have to have a birth. I mean, you have to have all these things before you can get into our country. Oh, no, no, no. The very rich man, he got his, not on America, but just right beside America, has his own island. He has his own airport, his own airplane, big one, 747. And he can fly 300 or 400 girls at one time. And then there's a link with the government. I said, I won't believe it. It's not true. But in January last year, Jeff Epstein and his cohorts were in the news. And so it's true. Because of the Western awareness, that number has been greatly reduced, but it's still unbelievable. So we finally didn't know. Stay there, come back. So we finally just said to our church leadership, you men decide. You know, that's the beauty of the church. You know, and I wish that our churches would be so cohesive that you, when you're in a hard spot in life or you don't know where to go or you don't know what to do, that you can come to your church leaders and just say, you make the decision for me. Can you direct us? And so that's what they did. And our church leadership said, come back. And let's do something about at-risk children. And so that's how SAFE was birthed. And the only thing I ever heard was SAFE. And so I was telling Dolores, well, now we're going back. We have time to get organized as a nonprofit in Colorado, then with the RS. I said, so what goes with SAFE? Well, we thought of every SAFE option there was, even S.A.F.E. because within 25 seconds after I said SAFE, that Dolores says, oh, that's serving Asian families endangered. That's pretty cool. Well, we couldn't find anything. So when we became a nonprofit for Colorado, there were a lot of SAFE options, but there was nothing just SAFE. I mean, I wanted to be SAFE Incorporated, SAFE Ministries, SAFE Missions, Faithful SAFE. I mean, I didn't know what it was going to be out there. But there was nothing. There wasn't even S.A.F.E. available as a name, just SAFE. Little did we know, so that's what we came. We did the RS, was the same story, we're just SAFE, all right? Today, we're sponsoring a home in Pakistan. And if there would be any connotation of any ministry or mission or Christian backing, we couldn't send money. So then I finally said, okay, I already told you that it's helpful when you just accept that you're weird, all right? It works. The other thing is that when you come to the place when you just see that you're not very smart, and I'm not smart enough for this, but you know what I figured out? There's a Father that's smart. He got it all. We just kind of, but how do we find that? We find that by keeping seeking. And we returned to America, and it was the worst wilderness experience in our life. I had 15 paid days. There was no jobs. There was no income available. I spent five of my oldest children. I spent all of their savings account to pay bills. In 20 months' time, I was in the hospital 17 times. Six outpatient surgeries, five inpatient surgeries. And by the 15th time, I said, Lord, that it's enough, just let me go. I'm done. That brings me to the second point this morning in seeking. In the wilderness where there's hard times, no job, no understanding of why God. Yeah, the thing of SAFE was happening. I mean, it was so awesome. In January of 2017, we came back in February, but in January, our donors rolled over to our support to help children. And it was like, you have to understand, $37,000 pledge for the year. There were three homes that were going to benefit in Thailand and one in Cambodia. And I was flying high. But that didn't help the pain. Maybe a wee bit, all right? But see, God doesn't make any mistakes. And I had no idea. I had no idea that last Saturday when the board met, that we would be talking into 28 homes in 8 countries. More than 500 children at a $500,000 budget that you donors provide to make possible. And the Lord has brought health and healing, and I'm feeling better than I have for years. And the energy is here. I don't know if you can tell, but you know, just beware. I love it, and I get to do this. There's no shuffleboard in my vision. Huh? Okay. The older ones understood. But you see, it's in suffering and hard times is the way that we find the Father's heart. Matthew 16:24 says, if any wishes to come after me. Oh, I wish to find the Father. I hope you long and wish to seek the Father. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. Go after him. And if anybody wishes to come to me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The message says, don't run from suffering. Embrace it. A.W. Tozer said, and this was sustaining words to me in 2018 and 2019. It is doubtful that God can truly bless a man until he has hurt him deeply. And I know that in every Christian experience, you can identify with that sentence. Your situation looks different than mine, but I know the pain, I know the trouble, I know the struggle. It may be health, it may be relationships, it may be job, it may be, there's just so much that our enemy, the devil, knows to how to wrap up, unfoil, and mess up and create a chaos. And we're living in chaotic times. I don't know if you guys know this in Lancaster County or not, but there's a lot going on in our world today. It's not like it was 30 years ago when I was here. Huh? It's different. And church, we need to come together. We need to bring together. We need to be there for each other. We need to help each other walk through our hurt, our pain, or whatever hard spot. We need to learn how to do that now. As we learn to do that now, we can see the strength of the church emerged for the coming days. These are exciting days. Look at the book of Revelation. We can start to see it unfold. This is the time. It is a glory hallelujah moment, but it's also the time of the greatest fear in our nation and in the world. When we went to Wachan to the Korean Baptist church, we were drawn to that. Oh, I can't go to that, sir. Let's go to the church service. We were early foreigners there. And so, of course, you always had to go up front, and you have to introduce yourself, then you get to sing a song. And whoever's with you gets to sing a song. Well, it makes a difference who's with you. Okay, that was a bad memory. But there's some good memories. So I remember I was so, like, this was so neat. One mother, grandmother in this case, made the decision to become a Christian through the work of Hudson Taylor in China that led over to Burma, and then they were refugees to Thailand. They opened up the mountain region because there was no resources there, and so the refugees could live there, and that's where they've been for the last 50 years. Very, very poor situation. I went with Lloyd and Mary Ellen to bring those Christmas blankets and gifts. But one mother made that decision, and now on a Sunday morning, when you go there, there's 350 that attend that church service. And then coming from a Beach Amish background, I love it because the women sit on one side and their fabric is horizontal, the weave. The men sit on the other side and their fabric is this way. They never noticed. Of course, I grew up in the culture where you notice dress. So I said, yeah, what? Oh, well, we never thought about that. It's just the way it always is. But anyhow, then what is the coolest thing? Guess what? In the middle, there were the young people or some couples that sat together. You see, God makes no mistakes when you keep seeking Him and embrace those hard times. And as we embrace those hard times, this is the point that I just came to in the last week, and I'm going to quit the sermon with this and tell you a story about Safe, because I don't know what to tell you yet. But somewhere the Lord is starting to speak, and maybe some of you can help me, that all my life I have lived out of the lack. In other words, that persecuted feeling of not having enough, and praying and fasting, and then there came a check. Then there's more praying and fasting, then comes the next check. Living out of the lack. Okay, I can't go into that very much because I don't know what to tell you yet, but I'm convicted that how God wants us to live is out of His abundance. Not out of His lack. There is no spirituality to live out of what God can't do. I mean, please, get it with me. It's out of His abundance. And so back in June, I woke up in the morning about 6 a.m. and I saw that I had a message on Messenger from Danny Schrock. Now, Danny was a boy that we knew from Montana, but we also knew that he went to Amman, Jordan. And the reason he went to Amman, Jordan was to learn Arabic, and then he was going to go back into the deep places in Jordan to where Christians are known not to come out alive. That's his vision. So he's there. I know he's there. And he texts me and he said, does SAFE do anything in India? I says, well, no. I said, it's really difficult. India and the United States and international funding is really difficult. So no. But I said, talk to me. Well, it ended up that we communicated for the next 4 hours. And in that communication, he just said that when he was on edge with GTO, they went to a town in southern India where a foreigner had never been. They were the first foreigners to show up, and there was a children's home there, an orphanage. And they committed to spend about 2 weeks in that orphanage. And he said they were so amazed. It was a Christian family taking care of at-risk children. And he said there was somewhere between 15 and 30 children. But he said the atmosphere was great, everything was great. And he said now it's 9 years later. And that house mom has sent me an inspirational thought and verses, or a verse, every day for 9 years. And said last year when COVID hit first, she wrote and said, please pray. some of our support has dropped off. And so Danny ended up, from Montana, a rancher, he sent them $500 to learn that that $500 was enough to make up whatever they needed for 9 months. It lasted for 9 months to pick up the lack. But he just said, this morning I got a text, and she says, Danny, pray. Just pray for us. We are out looking for food. After the last wave of COVID has hit, all of our support has dropped off, and we don't have food. She just asked him to pray. Well, in the conversation, when we were going back and forth, he actually drew them in, and I got pictures, and they were exactly fully qualified for SAFE, for the mission of SAFE. But I kept asking Dan, so how much do you think we should send them $2,500 one time, or do we send them $1,000 a month? Do we send $500 a month? You know, what do we do? Well, I had made the mistake. I already shared him some stories. Like, it's in the past, like this was early, several hours earlier. You know, like, we would get a check, but we didn't know where to go with it. And like 2 days later, you get an inquiry, and it would just mesh together. Or you get an inquiry, and the next day or two, there would come a check. I'm having the ride of my life. Well, but I kept asking Danny, so how much should we? No, he said, Lauren, let's just do it your way. Let's just pray about it. And the Lord will show us, because he said, I have no idea. I have no idea if it's 500 or if it's 10,000 a month. I don't know. But let's just let the Lord show it. Well, see, that's okay when I do that, but when somebody else does that, feels like, couldn't there be a better idea? I mean, just pray. No, okay. Well, okay. I'm glad you know me well enough now to understand. But you see, but that's what happened. I just prayed with Danny right there that the Lord would show us, because we don't know. I'm not smart enough for this. But you know what? I told you a father is smart enough. And so what happens? What did I have to do with that Eric brought that book back, that binder, and gave it to the mission board? And I don't know the real story, but this is my story for you. And the mission board decided they were going to sponsor SAFE. And so I go to the post office 2 hours after my last conversation with Danny. He went to bed. He's in Amman, Jordan. And a little afternoon, on June the 16th, I went to the post office, and there were two envelopes. The one I looked at first, oh yeah, that's a monthly supporter. But then there was one from New Covenant Mennonite Fellowship Church. Huh. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I like you guys, but you never talk to me. So I opened the envelope, and it was $300. But then in the memo, it said June. Like, all of our funds coming to Safe Homes are always designated to the people that are supporting it. We always try to link it up. But June, there is no June home. June Children's Home, you know, it's just June. I just picked up the phone and called Dave. Dave said, the mission board decided that for the rest of this year, they're going to send $300 a month. And then the tears came. I'm not smart enough for this, and I'm just plain weird. Now, how do you get along with life? But I have a lot of faith and belief in a mighty God. And he brought you that very day, and by that afternoon, the money was on the way to India to save their day. Did you get it? Do you understand the significance that you are doing? You were an answer to people that were out looking for food. And the same day the check came, the money went out. Danny had the ability. We sent it to Danny in Amman, and then he transfers it to, and so it takes away from an organizational point, and so we can get it into India. I mean, you know, I dare say to you that you're not smart enough either. Huh? I mean, you didn't have it figured out, did you? You didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. But there is a father who cares for his orphan children that are at risk. And stories continue like that. Lloyd talked about Myanmar this morning. It wasn't in my portfolio, in my window at all. But the things that are happening there are just like, I just get stressed over what I see, the pictures they send, like on the fifth floor of a high-rise building, downtown Yangon. There are 18 children on the fifth floor, and the military coup comes in, and they disrupt life totally, and they send me pictures of dead bodies down on the street level from the top of their, you know, like, this is what happened last night. They were not allowed to go out of the house, so at night, one person would sneak out, and I can just visualize how this went, to get food. Now, the Lord doesn't miss anything, doesn't make any mistakes. And more than a year ago, when we were there to visit, they said, you know, if we had a water filtering system, we could have our water right here on the fifth floor and not have to carry those 5-gallon containers of water up the stairs, 5 flights of stairs. So a donor provided that water filtering system, so they had water that they didn't have to go find. But at night. So they finally, things got so severe that they had to leave. So they went to a refugee camp. And then beside the refugee camp, a refugee camp was a place, safe place that the government provided. Beside the refugee camp, there was somebody building a house. And he wanted out. And unbelievable, the price of the house was $15,000. Now you have to understand, just a vacant lot costs $40,000. But they wanted to sell the lot, the house, everything for $15,000. Get away, it's unfinished. And totally, surprise, $25,000 check comes. Buys the house and puts $10,000 toward. Then the donor put another $10,000 toward that. And so now they have about a third of the house that they finished and are living in it. But because there are no government schools, the hospitals are closed. Oh my, the stories. You know, you used to have a clock back there. I have no idea where I'm at. I mean, why did you take that down? They are currently needing another 47. Well, Nevin Swigert from Lidditz has lived in Myanmar for 10 years. He's our field rep. We have two field reps over there, Levon Slaybaugh and Nevin. But Nevin married a native girl in November of 2019. In April of 2020, when COVID hit, he came back here to Lidditz to find a job. I have no idea what the work was, where he thought he could work for a couple months, get enough money to go back to live the rest of the year. Now, some of us understand the struggle of surviving on the field. So he came back. Well, with COVID, he couldn't go back. He was married in November, married for 6 months when he came to America. Then he couldn't go back in August or September or October or November or December of 2020. He came to see me in February of this year. And he said, now what I'm trying to do is to get my wife and daughter, which he had not seen, to go to India with relatives, and then I'll fly to India because India's open. So he was trying to do that. Later I found out that, yeah, he got tickets to go back in April. He was going to April. His wife was there already. They were going to be get together. Now, put this into your honeymoon portfolio, please, all right? 2 days before Nevin was to fly, India was hit with another COVID wave and closed their borders. And he couldn't go. And she couldn't go back home. So finally, when I saw him in July, he said, well, I'm just going to go home, and my wife will come whenever she can. So he actually got a ticket for the end of August and went back to Myanmar. And his wife actually made it back before he made it back, but he had to be quarantined in a hotel for two weeks while she was outside and he was inside. They are operating a home for safe. And so it just puts so much purpose. I mean, we're just starting that process. He's a rep for safe, but now they had 7 or 8 children before. They will soon come back to their home. And he's using his resources that he worked for to finish their house. And donors will step forward and help to support that. I'm just Dutch enough to say bin net schmat genoeg. Now, if you got it, all right? But I'm just not. But what an honor to be with you, to be together, and to know that the church, that we can steward the resources that God has given to us and make a difference. And so if you have an interest in Africa, if you have an interest in Nepal, if you have an interest in Pakistan, if you have an interest in Thailand, if you have an interest in Malaysia, if you have an interest in the others, all right? We are actually doing something that I didn't think we'd ever do, but somebody said we need to do it, and they're paying for it. We're putting together a little booklet, a pictorial booklet of the homes and the countries. And what it will say, may I send it to you? Okay, well, okay, I won't ask you. It's too much pressure. But it says how much a year of support that our board has decided that we would do for this home. And we do an annual pledge kind of system where I've been listening to the millennial crowd. I love you guys. You're just a lot different way of thinking than I'm used to. You know what one difference is? I just like being able to write one check. And November, December is kind of a good time to do it. And then I'm kind of good for the year. But the millennial crowd is focused, is cause-minded. And if this grabs them, they'll get behind it. And they want to do it month to month. Well, that's exactly how we disperse, month to month. You would never give them 3 months of income at one time. So we disperse month to month. So this is for the millennials. And we let the old guys in because you got the money. And then we take cash and checks both. I mean, somebody asked me the other day, do you take, what? I have no idea what time it is. Let me just take a look. Oh, you put it in the corner. It used to be right back. Okay, well, thanks for pointing that out. All right, just one more story? Okay. Where did I go with this? Well, I was in your region, and I'm driving along a business, and I kept looking in there every day. And I said, Lord, I can't stop there. I only met that person one time in my life, and if I stop there and I start talking to him, he will have adjectives for me like other people do. So I went past it one day. Then the next day, the route where I was going took me right past it again. I said, no, Lord, if you had a loudspeaker, would you just turn it up? Then if I know that I'm supposed to stop there, no, it was just that quiet voice. You know, that little. So the third day, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop there, but do you understand, Lord? I'm not going to say nothing. So I went into the shop, and there he was, and oh, he was glad to see. Well, then he said, now, you guys take cash? I said, yeah. He said, oh, he said, we have an envelope at home with cash in it. Would you mind, I could call my wife and say, you're coming to pick it up. Would you do that? Well, you would, Ken, you'd go pick up an envelope of cash, wouldn't you? Yeah, okay, so I did. Well, I had about 10, 12 minutes away. When I got to it, the mother and about a 3 or 4 year old boy were standing out of the porch, and the sidewalk was, not quite 50 feet, 35 feet. So I drive in and roll down my window, and I was getting ready to come out the car, but no, the little boy, he's just those little feet, you know, those tippy ones, they're just running forward like this and going, and he had an envelope and he was holding it straight out, you know, like this is the destiny. He knew exactly where he's going. He's just plugging along, he's just going and just like, and then he with great happiness and relief, it came in the window. Well, the husband had said something of what cause that he was interested in helping. And so I told her right there that this, like, your representation of your stewardship for this cause is making a huge difference. And then I saw tears. Then I knew that there was something about the envelope. Well, the envelope was a little fat, and so I was thinking egg money. You know, I wonder how many $1 bills or fives there might be in there. Well, now, okay, so what do you do when somebody gives an envelope? I didn't just open it up there. You know, I said goodbye and left, driving 1 mile, 2 miles, about 5 miles down the road, I couldn't take it no more. And I found a little pull-off, and I opened the envelope. And there were no ones, there were no fives, there were no tens, there were no 20s, there were no 50s. So what's left? Pictures of Franklin. And I counted 10, 20, 75, 100. I'm looking for oxygen. 125, 150. 170, 175, 185, 225, 230, 240, 250, and I just stopped counting. And I said to myself, 250 times 100 is how much? $25,000. And there was more. I just sat beside the road and wept. This was God's anointing, his provision, and the impact that it made for the Project Estate was unbelievable. Let's pray. Father, you've brought me with divine opportunity. There is no mistake. We are seeking you. We will seek you. I don't want to go anywhere else. Lord, bring yourself to us. Help us to know you, to walk with you, to understand you, to help us to understand suffering and surrender and pain and hard times and how that brings us to your heart. And Father, help us to live in your abundance. And help me to understand what it is to live in the lack and not want to go there. But I have so much to learn. Give me time, Lord, and help all of us to merge together to decide today again that we are going to walk through the open doors that you provide and that we are going to seek you because you are in our hearts. Paul said, if Jesus has raised you, has raised us, then seek him. So we're just going to seek you. And Lord, I just feel like being a little bit quiet right now and letting our hearts just soften to you. Thank you, Father, that you show the way and you put your spirit in each person that's here today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.